Shalom, everybody. It's good to see you.
So this morning, I'd like to speak on something. I'd like to speak on memories a little bit, if that's all right. I am sure, like me, you have outlandish memories in your life. True? My most outlandish memories of my life almost always center back to my high school experience. There was a man I worked with. I had a job in corporate America for a long time, and this guy, his name was Jeff. He reached out to me in the company. He said, I heard you graduated from Vincent High School, which is where I graduated from as well, he said. And he said, do you mind if we have lunch together? I'd like to talk about that. Oh, that's a weird thing to talk about. But sure, yeah, let's talk about it. I didn't know him. He was a little bit younger than me. So we went out to lunch, and I said, so why did you want to talk about this? He said, well, really, I just wanted to talk about it. I want to share some stories with you and hear your stories to see if it was really as bad as I remember it. They're so outlandish, it just sounds like we're making things up. After lunch, I said, so what do you think? Is it as bad as you remember? He said, yeah, and thanks for confirming. I tell other people, but they think I'm making it up. And it's true. I tell people things from my high school, and they look at me, and they're like, sure you did, sure you did. No, really, it was bad. In some ways, I think schools are better now because now they have metal detectors. And that's true. I remember walking out of high school, and I could talk about this. I won't. But I was walking, one day I was in 11th grade. I remember it's like it's yesterday. And, you know, you remember those traumatic events in your life, don't you? Like they're yesterday. This was a traumatic event in my life. I'm walking down the hall, and I'm about this far away, as far as I am to the guitar here. And me with two of my buddies, and one man was facing three guys, and he was afraid. You could see it in his face. They were mad at him, and they're yelling at him. And we were looking over to see what was going on. And the guy who was afraid reaches in his jacket and pulls out a gun. I'm this close! You see the trauma here? This is not something you forget. And I remember people had yelled fight because they were all excited to see the fight. And when the gun came out, somebody yelled gun. So they all stopped and ran the other way. And it was on one hand, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. On the other hand, somebody got stomped and split their head open. Somebody else got in a fist fight because they got bumped into, and somebody, it was a chaos going the other way. But I remember when he got his gun about this high, one of the guys knocked it out of his hand, and then three guys just laid the lumber on him. But I could go on. And we had 22 minute lunch hour. And I remember in one lunch hour counting 9 separate fights. Crazy, right? So those are extreme memories in my life. You've got them too. And from time to time, I've shared different things. You know, I fell in the ocean once off a pier when we were fishing in Florida. I felt, you know, when I was, you just get these things in your life and you remember these moments in your life. Maybe when you were learning to ride your bike, or maybe when you pushed some other kid off them when they were learning to ride their bike. Whatever the deal is. But you get these stories, you get these memories, and over the years, you know, they're kind of fun, or they're traumatic to recall. Maybe you don't even want to remember some of what you remember, but you've got them. Joshua 4:1, now when the nation, this is of course Israel, Moses at this point had passed away, when Joshua had taken over, and they're going to go into the land. They're dealing with this one natural thing they have to get around here. It's the Jordan River. And he's got to figure out how to get thousands and thousands and thousands of people over the Jordan River and take over, inherit that land. 4:1, now when all the nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, they made it. Adonai spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the feet of the Kohanim are standing, so the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and deposit them at the place where you are lodged tonight. In other words, Israelites, when you're going to go over the river, stop in the river, pick up some big rocks. You need 12 rocks. Of course, we know there's 12 tribes. You pick up the 12 rocks and you bring them over and you deposit them. And Joshua later, he took them and he made something. He made an altar. He made something with them. He built them up. We know. We don't know quite how it looked, but we know that he did do that. And we go on in the chapter Joshua 4:21, verse 21, a little bit later. When your children, Joshua is saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you, and he's just talking to people, then you will inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For Adonai your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you crossed, just as Adonai your God did all the sea of the reeds, which he dried up before us until we crossed over. Verse 24. Why the memory? Two reasons. One, so that all the people of the earth may know that Adonai's hand is mighty. And two, so that you may fear Adonai your God forever. We have some memories and we make some memories so we simply remember that God is God. In this case, God said, take the stones. God himself had said to do that. Make memories. Make memories to remember these things that I've done. In this room, we are chock full of things that remind us of things. We have the tzitzit. What do they remind us of? Well, it's actually several things. They remind us of God with his people. They remind us of the instruction, the covenants of God. And there are reminders for us. And they're also statements to other people that we believe this. It is kind of interesting to think about the Jews in the old days of old and old and olden time, the Hebrews would have these fringes at the corners of their garments. And everybody would just look and they would know a mile away if they would see a Hebrew because the fringes would be on them. You couldn't hide the fringe. It was large and in charge to have those fringes on, you know, descriptively in that anyway. That's one kind of reminder. Another kind of reminder that the Lord, we know the Lord tells us that we celebrate here are the high holy days. They're reminders of different things. That God's done this and God does that, that he provides this or he has that or his hand is mighty. We remember in the high holy days, Leviticus 23. We remember today on Shabbat is a reminder. The fact that we observe on this day, it's a reminder. We know that the Deuteronomy 5:15 was a very specific call out. One of the reasons for Shabbat is because we were slaves in Egypt, the Lord said, but now you're free. You got a day off. Let the day of rest be a reminder that you're not a slave anymore. And this is it, that God himself delivered you. The fact that we worship on Shabbat is a reminder that God has delivered. Isn't that cool? We know in the new covenant that Yeshua himself gives this reminder. When you come together, do this for me. And what's he talking about? Shulchan Adonai, the Lord's table. When you have the cup and you have the bread, you do this for me. He's saying this to his boys at the Passover meal, the people he's close with. Remember, remember, remember. Do these things to remember. Reminders are a good thing. If reminders are a great thing. So I was thinking, in working in this message, I started to think of reminders in my own life. The things in my own life that were special to me, not just the outlandish ones like high school or having fallen in the ocean off a dock when I was a kid. I did think of some crazy reminders. I remember my daughter, my oldest daughter, the day before her road test, my wife and I had bought her a car and it was just a horrible car. You know, it was the first car, it was just horrible. But I was driving with her the day before, it was the final prep. And we're driving down the road at nighttime in Waukesha, and out across the street comes a skunk. And I couldn't grab that steering wheel fast enough. It's like a no. And I get the steering wheel. And there's no way we're going to turn the car. So I just try to pull it toward the head. You know what I mean? Let it be fast and merciful, that the skunk wouldn't know opposition is coming. And we hit the head and we drove straight. She's looking at me and she's freaked out. You know, she doesn't have her license. She's freaked out. And, what do we do? Drive to a car wash now. So we drove straight to a car wash. And I tell you what, I think it was a blessing. Not for the skunk, but because we hit the head. The car was, it could have been worse. And the next day she took that car in her road test. And when that driver's ed person or that driver's tester got in the car, I just, good memories and bad memories, you know? But I was trying to think of, they had nothing to do with the message. I was trying to think of the things in my life that God had done. You know what I'm talking about? All the good stuff. It's a little overwhelming, and it's also a little numbing. I found myself, I've seen God do some pretty amazing things. My eyeballs have seen it. You know, when you see God heal with your eyeballs, that's an attention getter. But sometimes it's numbing to think of what he did for me. I mean, for me, what did he do for you? So if we start to think about what he did, it can be like, okay, let me think. Where do I start? Where do I start? I think for me, I had to start before I was born. And that's true. I never thought ever when I was young, ever, that I would be in Milwaukee doing this. And when I was young, I never thought I would be living in Milwaukee. Ever. How many of you were not born in the United States of America? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 hands, 7 hands. I don't know what countries you came from, but isn't it funny that we're meeting here in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin? Did you ever think that you'd be in a Messianic congregation on a Saturday in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin? Did you wake up as a 4-year-old going, someday I'm going to be in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin at a Messianic congregation? How did you get here? How many of you were not born in a different country, but in the United States, but born in a different state? Did you ever think you'd be here? We could go on and on. When God worked in our lives as little boys and little girls, he worked in a way to bring us to this point in time. That's mind-boggling for me. But I have other memories, and I started to think, well, Lord, what did you do? What did you do here and here? And I have some moments in my life that are very precious moments to me. Some I really don't want to talk about. You probably have those too. But some that are precious, and I'll still talk about them. I made a lot of money. I had a great job working in a factory in the 80s. I made a stack of cash, too much for somebody my age. And everything was going swimmingly. I got married, and yay, you know, we're living the good life. Right after I got married and I thought everything was going to go well, I lost my job. There was a housing downturn in the market. And I had been taking 2 college classes, 6 credits, 2 classes. So when I went to apply for unemployment, they said at the unemployment agency that I'm not eligible. They considered me a full-time student, and they don't give anybody who takes 2 classes or more unemployment. That's not good news. And I remember praying about it, going, well, Lord, I just, you know. So I started looking for jobs. And I don't really know where to look. I worked in a factory. I ran a screw ram injection press. There's not a lot of people interested in hiring screw ram injection press operators. So I was really stumped, and I ended up, and it was really a miracle. I ended up getting a job. And it doesn't even matter where. What matters is my first job back was at a 50% pay decrease. 50%! And for one year, we were so poor. Man, we were so poor. I remember we were negative $5 a month before food for a year. And I remember thinking, well, how are we going to do this? But I didn't know what else to do. We just trusted God, and we continued to tithe. This was a big piece of this. We continued to tithe. We never stopped tithing. And for 1 year, our money, my wife and I, it just stretched. And I remember one time we went to a wedding. This family member was married, and we gave him a check for $15. And we just looked at each other, and we're like, well, this is embarrassing. You know, you give a wedding gift $15. But that's all we had. And a whole year went by like this, and we had no money. And I remember I've shared this story before. People stopped by with groceries. Nobody knew. We never told my parents. We didn't tell anybody. It was our own. I was ashamed. I didn't want to say we didn't have any money. But finally, after a year, what happened, something... it was kind of a miracle. I had a chance to, I got a little bit of money, enough to take the edge off some of the bills. And we were able to at least I think we went from negative $5 a month to something like plus $150 a month. And that was liberating. It was liberating. I've got some things in my life like that, that are dramatic. I remember I had an experience just as a kid. I was just lonely and I had experience with the Lord as a kid. And it was a very dramatic moment in my life. I also think of times in the ministry. I think it's very odd for me. I don't know if this is going to make any sense. But when I speak in other places, I'm very mindful of why would I be asked to speak? Why would they care? You know, apparently the Lord wants to use me. So when I think I'm going to these other places, I think, well, then God, it's all your work. You know, it's what you do in my life. And it's humbling for me to think like that. It's humbling for me to be invited to speak in other places. But then I think, God, you must have a design. You must have a plan. Now, that's my story. You have a story. Your story. You've got things in your life that God has done also. The first one is you're here. He started before you were born. You're not here by accident. You do know that. Nobody is here by accident. Nobody woke up and said, "Hi, I was just in this building. I don't know how I got here. It's amazing." It's a very much an on-purpose thing. What else did he do in your life? Only you can answer that. Nobody else can tell you what God's done in your life in that way. I'm talking about those memories of God that are so deep and so true that only you can speak them. You know what I mean? I don't think that everybody has hundreds of them. I think everybody only has a few precious ones. But I think they matter. I think they matter very much. And we need them. But there's a bit of a problem with us and our memories. Do you know what it is? Remembering them. True? Mark 8. The disciples, Yeshua and the disciples, they're out and about, they're doing all kinds of ministry. They had forgot to take bread and had only one loaf with them in the boat. So let me tell you the backdrop. They were in a place and Yeshua does what Yeshua does for the second time and he multiplies loaves of bread, right? He's got the multiplication going on. They only had a few in the beginning, but he blesses it and they feed thousands of people. This is amazing. All these people are fed and they finish the time of ministry and they get in the boat. And look at this. They had forgotten to take bread. What I would have liked to have been one of the disciples in the boat. Because you know what I would have said to somebody? What were you thinking, buddy? Come on. Weren't you supposed to be the one to get the bread or was that me? Did I forget to get the bread? Who forgot to get the bread? We needed bread here. They all got bread. We're starving. We didn't even get bread. Do you see this? That's what's going on here. They had it on the hill or wherever they were. They got in the boat. They forgot the bread. For crying out loud. We got no bread. You could just picture the moment. Then he commanded them, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They were discussing among themselves that they did not have any bread. Let me just make this very clear what's happening here. They're fixated only on bread. He's trying to give them a divine teaching about the negative influence of Pharisees. They're not even talking about the same thing. I mean, yeast makes it seem like they're talking about the same thing. But they're not. They just want bread. I really want bread. I got to have bread. I'm really hungry. Can you believe we forgot the bread? They're fixated just on bread. And he's trying to talk to them about a deep truth. Don't let a little bit of negative influence, blah, 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 blah. They're on two separate pages. Verse 17, aware of this, he hears this. Okay, fine. You keep talking about bread. Why are you discussing that you don't have any bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? Do you not get it? He's saying, is your heart hardened? Do you not have eyes? And do you not see? Do you not have ears? Do you not hear? Hello? What did you see? What did you hear? Where have you been all this time? Do you not remember when I broke the loaves from the 5,000? How many baskets full of pieces of bread did you collect? 12, they told him. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of pieces of bread did you not collect? Seven, they said. And he said to them, don't you understand yet? These two separate experiences, Yeshua multiplied the bread. He multiplied it here, and he multiplied it here. So when they're all upset over here because they don't have any bread, he's saying, hello, do you not remember that I'm right here? I'm just right here. I'm in the boat with you. I wonder if it dawned on them that, hey, he doesn't have any bread either. This is Yeshua. So, years later, after I lost that job, my wife lost her job. Now, when I lost my job, it was a radical shift. It was such a humongous pay decrease. It really impacted how we lived our life from that point on. And it really caused us to think differently about our spending style and what saving was and what it wasn't and all of this sort of thing. It really changed the trajectory of our marriage and finances very, very much. And I'm sure my wife would agree. It was a very big moment for us. When she lost her job years later, and it was 20-something years later, I remember we were sitting and we were talking, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. We've got two daughters. You know, what do we, maybe we can make them work for us and give us their money or something like that. And that didn't wash. So we really tried to figure out what we could do and how do you make the money? And we knew how much we had and how much we didn't have. And we just had this sense, you know, Yeshua gave us bread once. You know where I'm going with this. He's going to give us bread again. And he did. And it happened in the strangest, strangest way. It really did. My wife ended up getting a job where I worked in my corporate place. And she was a temporary person. She became a permanent employee. But that was a bizarre experience. And we watched God sovereignly provide for us in ways that didn't make sense. I tell you, I can't tell you the whole story because it does run into some legalities, believe it or not. But my wife was a temporary employee, and my wife is very, very bright. She really is smarter than I am. And it's true. And I remember she had this job, and it was just an entry-level job. And her trainer, a long-term employee at the company, didn't want her to work there. And she would say, I don't want you to work here because you have a college degree, and I don't like people with college degrees. And that's all it was. So we thought, well, you know, Lord got her a job here somehow. It was odd how she got in there in the first place. So the Lord will take care of it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but the Lord's going to do it. One day, the lady got in a fight with her manager, who was also my wife's manager. And in the middle of the fight, she said, okay, well, I guess you're firing me, to the manager. The manager just looked at her and didn't say a word. And the lady walked out. She just fired herself. Do you get how weird that is? She worked in the company for more than 20 years, and she got to fire the manager, and she just assumed she was being fired. But she just walked out. She walked past security, dropped her ID there, and she said, I'm firing myself. My boss is going to fire me anyway. Weird. And because of that, my wife got a job there. Sometimes God flexes God muscle, but he wants us to remember that he does it. The experiences that you have in your life with him, those times that he takes you to new understanding and new breakthroughs, those big moments in your life, or getting through the hard moments. Sometimes it's not big breakthroughs. Sometimes it's about surviving the hard moments, being on a boat, not having food, a hard moment. Whatever it is, when he provides and he does what he does, he wants us to remember that he is always working the good. We have to remember those times. We can never become so cliche that we forget the goodness of what he does in our lives. Psalm 78, and that's exactly what happens here. The Ephraimite archers turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonderful works he had shown them. He worked wonders in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, the region of Zoan. He split the sea and brought them across. The water stood like a wall. He led them with a cloud by day, with a fiery light throughout the night. They didn't remember. And if we read on in the chapter, we see that God becomes angry. Did you ever do something for somebody and they just don't even appreciate it or remember it? He wants us to remember him. He wants us to remember the good things that he does in our life. Take time to go back and remember him. 2 Timothy 2, remember Yeshua, the Messiah, raised from the dead, the seed of David, according to my good news. What the good news? That he has risen, that there's intention for our lives, that we can have him as Lord, be in full relationship with him. Remember Yeshua. I think it's interesting. Every now and then you hear somebody say he didn't rise from the dead. And it is just the worst argument to say. It really is. There's so much proof. There's so much proof. In America, a lot of Americans will run around and say, well, there's no proof that he was alive. But if you go to Israel, every Israeli, anybody I've ever talked to in Israel, ever, and I've asked people in food stores and service places, and do you think that Yeshua walked the earth? And they all say, yes, he had to. Look at the land. It's too influenced. There's so much proof. And if that's not enough of a proof, if there's not enough proof that you've read about or you know about, what about the proof that you're here? What about the proof of him in your life? Sometimes we forget what it is to have him in our life, how different we are than other people who don't believe him. We live in a very different existence. It's much more peaceful to have him. He is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. That's actually the word, Shalom, which is an inside-out peace. But when we don't remember that, and if we don't receive it, we don't try to receive that from him, we shoot our own self in the foot. He brings blessing to us. We have to remember that. It's very important that we remember. So here's a homework assignment for the day. You ready? Go home and try to remember those old things in your life that you know that God did for you. There's probably not a lot of them. Now, there's going to be things that maybe you've seen, maybe you've been around other people, but I'm talking about the things that changed you. Think of those things in your life. Go back and remember them and refresh in them. Do you know what happens when you do that? First, you feel good. And secondly, you want to defy the opposition in your life. You want to defy it. Is that all you got, devil? Because you remember what you've come through. Go remember them. If you don't have a starting point with the Messiah, if you have never, ever given your life to him, you have no starting point, you have something to remember in being here today, but let today be your starting point. After service, there's going to be some people, lanyards here. Walk up to them and just say, hey, you don't know me, I don't know you, or maybe you do know each other, and let today be the day that you have them, you pray with them. Lord, let this be my starting point to remember more of the good things in my life. I like, you Bethites have heard me say this for a while now, I like that he makes it so easy for us to come to him. We just pray. You know, when we declare him as Messiah, all we have to do is believe it. Say it. It's important that we say it. We have to do this. That's two things. We believe it in our heart. We confess it. We have to say it with our mouth. And then we follow him. Boom, boom, boom. That's all we do. We do those three things. We can do them in any culture, anywhere in the world, at any time in history. We don't need anything special. We don't need a Western view. We don't need an Eastern view. Not an American view, not a European, not an African. Doesn't matter. Believe it? Do you believe that he did something special? Do you believe that he died and rose from the dead? Say it. I believe he's the one. He's the Messiah. I'll live for him. Boom! Now live for him. Three. And you have a good memory. I remember the day that I did it. I also remember the day that my dad saw me go through my immersion. It was kind of funny memory. And then I'll wrap this up. There was a tank. It's kind of like what we have here. Some of you Bethites have seen it. There was in our old chapel, we have a tank. And we'll have a mikvah service coming up. We're working on a date, by the way. But I remember I was up and I was ready to go in this tank. And the guy who was in there was looking around, and he used to ask all the parents of kids to pray for the kids. But my dad was so mad, so mean mugging. He was standing in the back of the room like this. And he looked at my dad and didn't. I'm not going to ask that guy. So he just prayed for me himself. Remember that? Did you ever think you'd be here? You went from there to here? Oof. Dainu. So please stand up. You never know what God's going to do. I'll tell you something else. My grandpa in that first picture, he was not into Yeshua. He was not. I remember going to the house for Hanukkah one year. All the family was there for Hanukkah. And my dad said, "Dad, I'm ready. I've got notes to talk on the message behind Hanukkah." And my grandpa said, "Oh," and he didn't do it. But then years later, I remember talking to my grandpa. My grandpa came to faith. He accepted Yeshua as Messiah. He said, "Why didn't you tell me earlier?" What? It's a true story. Lord God, we seek you for what you have in our life. We seek you to remember more. Help us always honor you with our memories. You, Lord, who are faithful to build those experiences and the experiences that you teach us from in the Word, help us do our part and remember and bring glory to your name in it. You are the living God. We thank you for everything that you do. Please bless everybody here. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechach Adonai v'al yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha v'yunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliecha v'yaseim lacha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Be blessed. Remember, if you want to establish that relationship, do it here with the Lanyard Wearers, our two elders. There's Oneg down the hall. There's coffee and fellowship. There's fellowship here. Enjoy the day.